My name is John Erling, and today's date is February 13th, 2012. We're recording this interview in the offices here of VoicesOfOklahoma.com in Tulsa. David, would you state your full name, your date of birth, and where you were born?
David Hall, October 20th, 1930, St. Anthony's Hospital, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
I'm noting no middle name.
Was there no middle initial. We were too poor. There's a story behind that, John. I'd be glad to relate to you.
What is that?
At the time that I was born, my father and mother had a big argument about what to name me because my father did not like her uncle John Sexton, and my mother wanted to name me John David rather than just David. So my mother, who was, of course, bedfast then, after having the baby, left it up to my father to fill out the birth certificate. My father never filled it out. And the birth certificate, when I went to go in the Air Force, read unnamed Hall child. So I had to get an affidavit as to what my name had been, and my father, who I lived with as my mother was institutionalized most of her life, had called me David Hall all that time, and so I reasoned that was my name. I checked with him, and he said it was. So I had my grandmother sign an affidavit, which now became my official name, David Hall.
And I'm sure you've had to explain that hundreds of times.
In the service, in everything.
Yeah. Your family. Let's begin with your mother, her name, maiden name, and where she grew up and was born.
Her name is Aubrey Nell French. She is one of four daughters of Ben and Estella Gertrude French of Sherman, Texas. My grandfather was a sign painter and a home builder, and my grandmother had been a secretary in a day when secretaries that were female were very unusual. On my father's side, his name was William Arthur Hall, Jr. His father was William Arthur Hall, Sr., who had started the Hall Beverage Company in Oklahoma City, for which my dad worked, and which later became the Pepsi-Cola Bottling Company of Oklahoma City.
Your parents, where did they meet?
They met in Sherman, Texas, when my dad was a first-year student at Austin College, and my mother was a senior in high school. They married a year later when she began as a student at CIA, the Congress of Industrial Arts, in Denton, Texas, which later became Texas State College for Women. She gained her degree as a teacher there. My dad transferred to Baylor the second year, majored in chemistry, and graduated a year before she did. So they both were college graduates at the time.
About your grandfather, Hall, talk about the ownership of the bottling business. What was the name of it?
In 1929, when my grandfather started it in Oklahoma City on North Chartel, it was Uncle Joe and Aunt Ida's Bottling Company. That evolved into the Hall Beverage Company in 1930. Then in 1937, when Pepsi-Cola tried to energize its sales countrywide and started the Pepsi jingle, we gained the franchise for everything south of Oklahoma City. My grandfather, John, had previously been a cotton gin salesman for Hardwick Eder Company for almost 30 years in Texas and had saved his money and wanted to go into a business that would work out for his two sons, Earl Hall, my uncle, and my father, William A., nicknamed Red Hall.
As an aside, the fight between Coke and Pepsi was a difference in the ounces?
Absolutely. Pepsi was out to outdo Coke, which was 8 ounces, for having a 12-ounce bottle that sold for the same price. But Coke had a lock on the market. In Oklahoma City, Henry Brown's Coca-Cola franchise outsold us 8 or 9 to 1 when we started. We were able to narrow that somewhat during World War II, but we never in all the history of the company caught up with them.
Did you work for them?
You're not kidding, I did. In 1939, I had my first job sweeping out the plant, and they called me a sanitary engineer. I worked that type of job until I got my driver's license. Once I got my driver's license, I became a truck driver, and I had the route in the Black District of Oklahoma for 2 summers.
Your father ran for the Oklahoma legislature.
1928.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, he was excited. He had come to Oklahoma City, moved there from having been a coach in Schulenburg, Texas. Very gregarious, very outgoing, loved Oklahoma City, loved the people he met. My mother was very, very happy. They had a home out on the northwest side of the city. He was in the Chamber of Commerce, all sorts of civic organizations, and he decided to run for the legislature. It absolutely devastated him that he didn't win. But that was his beginning of a lifelong interest in politics. Although he did not try to guide me into politics, when he later found out, when I was about 12 or 13, that that was what I hoped my destiny would be, we became a pretty good team.
A little bit about your mother and her personality. What kind of a person was she?
She was very outgoing and gregarious in her days at Sherman High School and later at what became TSCW. Her nickname in high school was Frenchie. She was 5'9", stately, graceful girl, loved sports, but most of all loved people. She was a painter. She did oils and was very good, but she loved teaching best of all.
Longin, here someplace. She moved back to Texas?
She did. When she completed her degree work while she was expecting my brother, and she was pregnant when she was commuting from Sherman, Texas, to Denton, Texas. My dad was completing a year-long contract at John Tarleton Junior College in South Texas, so he was not there to help take care of her. And it was the strain of that pregnancy plus a later strain during the pregnancy with me that caused her first mental conditions.
Then your dad moves to California.
My dad, at that time, divorced my mother, left my mother and my brother and I in Sherman, Texas. He married a young lady from Broken Bow, Oklahoma, Dorothy Bernice Draper, and they went to California to start a new life.
Did he take Wendell with him?
He did, but he took him in a circuitous manner. My mother and Wendell and I were living in a home owned by my grandfather Hall across the street from the Austin College campus in Sherman. One day, my brother was walking home from school in the afternoon, and my dad came by, picked him up, and took him to California without calling my mother. And for most of my life, I thought he had just kidnapped my brother without ever letting my mother know. The truth of the matter was, my father had stopped just past the county line. This was about 6 or 8 o'clock at night, called the local sheriff in Grayson County, Texas, and told him to call my mother and tell her that he had taken my brother to California. The sheriff put it in a file and never called my mother until the middle of the next day. My mother thought that my brother had been kidnapped by nefarious people, and she had a complete physical and mental breakdown in the evening that that happened. Within 2 weeks, she was committed to the state hospital at Wichita Falls, Texas. She was at that time just about 30, but she spent the rest of her life till age 72 in Texas mental institutions.
And how old are you at that point?
I was 4 years old, but I remember it as if it were today. It was like a brilliant flash of color every time I think about it, because it was the most devastating time of my life up to that age. She was standing before the sink in the kitchen, wringing out a dish towel, when all of a sudden she let out this terrible scream, collapsed on the floor. I'm standing next to her. I didn't know what to do. I went over to her, and she didn't revive. We were in an upstairs apartment. I ran downstairs to ask the people there to come and help me. They came up, helped revive her, and she was immediately taken to the hospital.
This must have been traumatic on you.
John, it was the most devastating, absolutely the most devastating event of my life, and it has haunted me ever since. I did not see her after that for almost a year while she was being treated. And the first time I saw her, she had aged so much, I was 5 years old. It was traumatic.
So then who did you live with?
I lived with my grandmother and my aunt Essie, who was the youngest of the four daughters of Ben and Estella French, right in the middle of the Depression. They were hard-pressed just to take care of themselves. And to have the 4.5, 5-year-old boy added to their burden when they had only raised girls and knew nothing about raising boys was very difficult. The result was that after 2 years of that, they felt they could no longer take care of me because of the money and because of their inability to handle boys. So they called my father and asked him if he would consider taking me. But this time he had returned from California, had been in Oklahoma City working for my grandfather. But my grandfather and my uncle Earl Hall, all three were in the business, and they had built in this time a new facility in Ada, Oklahoma, and my father was running that. So he agreed that he would take me and raise me. So at age 6.5, he came to Sherman, loaded up my clothes, and here I am with this stranger. I hadn't seen him since I was 4 years old. He takes me back to Ada, Oklahoma, but he tells me as we're going back that my brother's coming back from military school in California and would be there the latter part of the summer. That really encouraged me because my brother was my hero.
And so that did happen then?
That happened, but it happened again in a circuitous way. I came to live with my dad in July of 1936. Wendell was returning by train to Dallas from California in August of 36. The 1st of August, I developed an appendicitis issue, had to have an operation, and the operation fell 2 days before he was coming to Dallas. So my stepmother and my father stayed with me through the operation, but the day after the operation, they left me in the hospital and went to pick up my brother. So I'm in the hospital by myself at age 6.5 in this strange town where I don't know anybody, They were gone for 4 days, and then they came back and picked me up.
Do you think all of that had a major impact
on you? No question. No question. When I later became an educated person, finished college and law school, I had studied a lot about Catholicism, and I remember that interesting statement that all the priests had made, that if you give me a child to age 70, he'll always be a Catholic. I can understand that because that trauma of age 4, 5, 6 and so has stayed with me all these years.
But didn't the Baptist Church at the time have a big influence on you?
It did when I went to live with my father. My aunt Essie and my grandmother, French, were members of the Church of Christ. They were good attenders, but they didn't really shepherd me into the church as much as my dad did when I came to live with him in Ada, and we became members of the First Baptist Church in Ada, Oklahoma. What a wonderful church. Dr. C.C. Morris was the pastor of that church. He also owned the local radio station. He was the power there in Ada. I fell in love with the church. I loved singing. I loved the lessons. I loved the summers at Falls Creek. I spent 4 summers at Falls Creek. The very first one, my brother and I were in bunks right next to each other, and that's when I first began to read the Bible really seriously. You could choose one book in the New Testament, and I chose the book of Mark and read it through. I didn't understand it the first 2 or 3 times. Maybe I didn't even understand it the 3rd or 4th time. But it gave me a thirst and an appetite for reading the Bible that served me so well the rest of my life. I was so lucky, too. My brother was 4 years older than I am, and he led me, shepherded me, and took care of me all those years in Ada. That was 1936 through 1940.
Somewhere in here, you moved to Oklahoma City.
That's correct. We had an opportunity to sell the Ada plant at a great profit, I found out later. And so my dad, my uncle, my grandfather agreed to sell the plant, and we would move to Oklahoma City. It was just when the country was gearing up for World War II, and most businesses like ours, a service business of serving beverages, was experiencing a tremendous upclimb in business. Also, Pepsi-Cola was gaining by leaps and bounds over what it had been from 1937. So my father moved in 1940 to Oklahoma City, bought a home at 18th and May, moved my brother and my 2 half-sisters, who now were in the family, and we all settled in a house there. That lasted from 1940 until Pearl Harbor. At Pearl Harbor, my dad, who had been in military school in World War I and had never gotten to serve in the service, at age 40, volunteered to go into the Army Air Corps. He was accepted at that age. It was very unusual for somebody to volunteer, and he served as an administrative and a mess officer for several years. But what happened, my brother never accepted my stepmother, and they had an acrimonious relation from the time he came back from California. It became so serious that just before my dad went off to the service, my stepmother and my brother could not live with each other, and my brother went to live with my grandmother, who lived 2 blocks away at 19th and Drexel. So the family was split up again, and I lost my hero. He was my best buddy. We roomed together. We slept in a double-decker bunk. It was very tough on him. At this time, I was 11, and Wendell was 15. Within 6 months after my dad went to service, he was stationed in California, and he decided he would bring the family out, everyone but Wendell, who he couldn't bring out because my stepmother couldn't get along with him. So my stepmother, my 2 half-sisters, and myself took a train from Oklahoma City to Oakland, where we were met by my father and went to live at a home he had rented in Fairfax, California, which is in Marin County, just north of San Francisco, about probably 8 or 9 miles from San Rafael.